One, two, three.
Swarbrick, thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew.
That's, it's not exactly a traditional song, it's certainly a traditional Scottish version of roadside ballad.
I think it's quite commonplace that traditional songs found their way onto the broadsheets and vice versa. A great many songs that we now know as traditional folk songs began as broadside ballads. But it was through the process of the oral tradition that those rough edges got knocked off them and they get turned into what we instantly can recognise as a song that's been through the folk process.
Yes. It's a bit strange, I must say, to me, to hear you singing songs with milk-white steeds in them and faltered in the Lido choruses. But nevertheless, a song about class consciousness.
It is certainly, and I think that's why it was so popular with the Travellers, because it's a song where the underdog, the exploited character in the song actually comes out victorious. So you can sort of understand its popularity. But really, most of the songs that I write are fairly well informed and influenced by the folk tradition.
Yes. So that you're, in a sense, in the business of renewing cliches, I suppose.
That's harsh but fair, Andrew.
I didn't mean it to be harsh. I mean, working with them.
I know exactly what you mean.
Breathing
I mean,
new life into them, stopping them from being cliche.
Like, it's a thing in folk songs that when somebody gets onto a horse, it's always a milk white steed, and when somebody's stabbed from behind, it's always by their cruel brother John. You know, there are these kind of archetypes in folk song, and I do use them in my own songs too.
Your home, last time we spoke, you were here in Australia, and you were about to return to Scotland, and your return coincided with the referendum on the National Assembly and the whopping great majority. I don't know whether this is just coincidence. You have this knack of being in the right place at the right time, don't you?
And I certainly got away for the election of the Howard government as well.
This Assembly, is it enough?
No, of course not. I mean... I don't think any form of parliamentary democracy is enough democracy. I'm in favour of much more democracy than simply electing somebody every 3 years or every 5 years and deciding which section of the ruling class is going to exploit you and oppress you for the next few years. I mean, I think it's a lot better than no democracy at all, but I mean, I'm actually for complete democracy ruled by people, not representational democracy.
Right. What about what changes have you noticed in Glasgow in the time that you've been away?
Oh, it's a really different city to what I left. When I left, Glasgow was a black city. All the buildings were covered in soot. I used to think that was actually the colour of the stone. Since I've gone back, the whole city has been scrubbed clean. It's been sandblasted. I think the transition from heavy industry through to more modern forms of technology, it was a very painful transition, and a lot of unemployment was created as a result. And I left right in the middle of all of that as well. That transition is much more complete now. So there's a lot less unemployment. Consequently, there's a lot less social problems in Glasgow. And the sectarian divide between the Catholics and the Protestants, that seems to have really decreased as well.
Yes,
it's a much happier place, I think. Yeah.
Good. I think this leads us rather nicely into your next song, Harold's Best Men.
Wrote that. The song is about the collapse of the mining communities. I wrote it after reading how in the what used to be the mining community of Grimethorpe, there's 85% male unemployment at the moment, and consequently there's a lot of social problems, particularly with heroin, which is known locally as brown. And I wrote this song after hearing that that an application had been made to the National Lottery for money to set up a drug rehabilitation centre, and the application was refused. And it made me remember that back in the early 1960s, when the Prime Minister of the day, Harold Macmillan, was speaking of the British miners, he said, they fought the Kaiser and they beat him, and then they fought Hitler and they beat him too. They're the best men in the world. And it seemed to me somewhat sadly ironic that these men that were described by Harold Macmillan as the best men in the world were being virtually thrown onto the scrap heap and left to fend for themselves. So I wrote this song, and it's actually called Harold's Best Men. One, two, three, four. Ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three, four.
Clap, clap, get back in from a steady close to Pitney. There's 85% unemployed in the skin. Five arms will buy a bag of
nobody good. It reeks of paregoric, and it stains the walls with blood. There's needles in the gutter across the neighborhood. We're told our wains are terminate, made better than they should. We were Harold's best men when the play wheels ran. New Johnny Minor is Johnny the man. When the dogs of over barking barbers, what is to look around? They took our picks and shovels, they gave us Tommy guns. Marched us to the trenches, lined us up against the Hun. The frightened sons of Mars slaughtered other mother's sons. We were Harold's best men when the play wheels ran. New Johnny Minor is Johnny the man. And Mother Nature's cupboard's bare, there's too many mouths to feed. That's what the king of the stockpile says when he pisses on the ones in need. There's always cash for palaces, there's always cash for war, none for the land that we fought for. Empty now, the stairwell's filled with red. The banks have moved away, and there's nothing at the flicks. But Forgan to the papers were vandals in the sticks. Cause Johnny's lost his job, now he steals to buy a fix. When the play wheels ran, we were Harold's best men.
Thanks, Alistair Hewlett. Thanks, Dave Swarbrick.
Thanks, Andrew.
Alistair, you continue to write songs which... I mean, that wasn't specifically an example, because it was about England, I suppose, although universal. But you continue to write songs which provide a kind of musical history of working-class England. And... I guess the latest stage in this project is your interest in Red Clydeside. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, right. During the First World War, when there was a massive wave of sub-patriotic jingoism sweeping the whole of Britain that was carrying tens of thousands of young men off to be slaughtered in the trenches for a war that had absolutely nothing to do with the soldiers on either side. It was about empire and property. When that wave was sweeping through Britain, Glasgow sort of almost stood alone in opposition to the to conscription. It was led by a school teacher from not very far from where I live. In Glasgow, he came from a place called Pollock Shaws, and he taught at a school in Govan. He was a simple primary school teacher, but he led Red Clydeside. His name was John McLean, and he was jailed a total of five times by the British government for his outspoken opposition to the war. And Under his leadership, Glasgow was brought to a state of near revolution. In 1919, they called it Black Friday when the Prime Minister of the day, Lloyd George, sent troops and tanks into George Square in Glasgow to quell revolt there. A great many people were injured and a few people were killed, and that effectively broke the back of Red Clydeside. But it raged extremely brightly from 1914 through until 1919, and I've been not only going into the history of it, but I've been inspired to write a few songs. They're not quite completed yet, but I think it's probably, at least it's going to be something that I'm going to be performing at folk festivals in Scotland. I'm already booked to do it twice over there. But I've got a feeling it's going to be the next album, too.
It sounds like it to me as well. I said earlier that you've got this habit of turning up in the right place at the right time. You've pitched up again in Australia just at the moment when we seem to be heading into one of the most unpleasant industrial disputes that we've seen in many a decade. This can't, again, I always feel this can't just be coincidence, but you've got a song to finish which might well be applicable to some of the things that are happening on the waterfront at the moment.
This song's called The Swaggies of Old Waltz Matilda Away, and it's the song that we like to end off at our gigs with, and as you know, we're here on tour, so we'll finish off this little session on the music show as we would finish off one of our concerts with the Swaggies of Old Waltz Matilda Away. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Does it thicken your heartbeat to see tar and concrete cover the tracks on the old bullet rails? Have you grown so heartless to christen at progress when the swaggies have all lost but fell away? Poverty caused you to roam over the bracken and over the foam, bloodstained the soil of Australia. Then in the fever of fortune and fame, you caused the poor blacks to suffer the same. Imprisoned on missions or hunted for game, bloodstained the soil of Australia. Does it quicken your heart? Tar and concrete cover the tracks on the old bullet rails. Have you grown so heartless to christen at progress when the swaggies have all waltzed but killed came to this land, betrayed by the girl with a black velvet band, and still to this day you don't understand what stained the soil of Australia. Hoorie and white, old Australian and new, brothers and sisters of every hue, the future is ours, take the wealth from the few, and raise the red flag in Australia. Let it thicken your heartbeat, the rocks at your own feet, travel with me of success. But the Senate progress, well, the swaggies can all want Matilda as well. And don't speak of success, but the Senate progress, well, the swaggies can all want Matilda as well.
Alistair Hewlett and Dave Swarbrick, and thank you very much indeed, gentlemen, for that. They were playing three songs from their new album. The album is called The Cold Grey Light of Dawn. That...